Revelation 19, beginning in verse number 1. It says, "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah." So those verses 1 through 4, we can see they're praising God for his judgment. His judgment's always right. Amen. And I honestly believe that people at the great white throne of judgment, before they're cast into a lake of fire, will praise God for his judgment. And then they'll be cast into flames forever. That's a sad, sad thing, but I do believe that'll happen. And here they are talking. We had looked at 18 about him judging that great whore and that great religious political system that had perverted the world for all these years. And that's what they're bragging on him about and praising him for, is for that judgment of that great whore that had messed up mankind for all that time, that had killed his prophets, and that system of belief had killed his prophets and killed his servants, and the blood of his saints are on their hands. And he judges that great whore, and you notice it says, "And her smoke rose up forever and ever." That's present tense, because John's taken into the future to see these things, right? So he's looking at it while it's happening. You say, "Well, we don't believe that's going to come true." It's already come true. If God says it, it's already happened. We're in time waiting to catch up with it. Amen. God doesn't say anything that doesn't happen. Amen. If he says it, it's going to happen. And another thing about this, it's been I kind of went back and forth on this for a while, but that word hallelujah, it's a Hebrew, from the Hebrew word, and you know, what are people going to speak in heaven? I was almost convinced for a long time that it's going to be English, because we're wrapping up the age of the church in King James English with his Bible, but I do believe things go full circle, and Hebrew is still a live language. All the other languages have been dead languages, and Jesus Christ, his chosen people were Jews. Jesus Christ come as a Jew. He's going to come back and rule and reign as a Jew, amen. And I believe it's going to be Hebrew. And if you're worried about that and you're upset about it not being English, it doesn't matter what it is, you'll understand it, just like the day of Pentecost, amen. We won't have to worry about it anymore. And it'd be kind of cool to finally know Hebrew, amen. And I think backwards, so if I could write backwards, it'd be all right, amen. But I believe that is going to be Hebrew. I've heard Dr. Ruckman, I've heard some other people say that. I believe they're right. Things go full circle. We end up with a new heaven and a new earth, full circle. And we start off with Hebrew, we end up with Hebrew. I believe that. And verses 5 through 8, we'll look at that for just a little bit here. It says, "And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were a voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God..." Ooh, how about that? The thunder right outside the window. Praise the Lord. "Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints." So there again, we're looking at the marriage supper of the Lamb. That white linen is the righteousness of the saints. The righteousness of saints. Now, we talked about this before. What directly precedes this marriage supper of the Lamb? Judgment seat of Christ. So the judgment seat of Christ, she has been made ready. Washing of water by the Word, looking at Ephesians chapter number 5, washing of water by the Word, and the judgment of the works by fire, and that purifying process. You notice it says, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. It says, you shall suffer loss, but you yourself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So we're saved, but our works, we're going to lose our works. The things we didn't do for him in a pure conscience, pure heart, for the right reasons, are going to burn up. But what's left is going to be that white raiment that his bride will be adorned in. Remember, you think about a wedding. All the things of this world, you know, the world is goofy, right? They don't believe the Bible, but everything they do is based on the Bible. Even the wickedness they do is based on the wickedness that's out of the Bible. They don't come up with anything new. I mean, good night, they might have put nitrous on it or something and jacked it up a little bit, but they were perverts before the Noah's flood. They're perverts now. I mean, they're just doing the same old stuff, thinking they're doing something new. Oh, look at me, I'm special. No, you're not special. You're a sinner just like everybody else, amen? And Jesus Christ is still the Savior. He still saves. But the wedding, when you look at a wedding, what happens? The bride and the groom don't see each other for a while, right? They don't see each other. They've been promised to each other, right? And the bride is off somewhere away from the groom. He doesn't see her. And what's she doing? She's getting ready. He's going to present himself a bride as a chaste virgin, right? So what the bride is, chaste virgin bride, she is dressed in white apparel. And she comes out seeking the bridegroom and walks right up there to him, and they join. And, you know, the world takes on all the stuff of the Bible, and they do that ceremonially speaking, and then they reject the Bible. But that's what this is, what's talking about. The bride has made herself ready. I think we ought to make ourselves ready here as best as possible. Be a smaller fire cell at the judgment seat of Christ, amen? But there's going to be a chastening here, and there's going to be a purifying there, and then the bride will be ready. And talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb, look at verse 9. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. So these aren't hypotheticals. These aren't spiritualized. These aren't things that are parables. These are true sayings of God. These are actually going to happen. And like we said earlier, they actually have happened. John's already seen it. John's already been to heaven and seen you if you're saved. Praise God. And if he hasn't seen you, you need to get saved, because John's seen the saved folks. Amen. But they which are called unto the marriage. Let's look at Luke 14. Luke 14. We've had some other accounts here of this marriage supper and different types here. We'll look at that. Luke 14, verse 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. You ever heard that? Well, I'm just not ready to get saved yet. I'm just not quite there. I believe what you're saying, but I want to wait. I'm not through with my sin yet. And that's the truth. I mean, they're not saved. They don't get saved that way. You've got to have a repentant heart. And a lot of people it breaks my heart to hear it, but they don't have a repentant heart. They'll just tell you, I believe you, but I ain't doing it. You say, well, they believe, so they're saved. No, the devil believe and tremble. They don't believe. They don't get to heaven because they believe. They have to call on Jesus Christ. The devils believe, but they'll never call on Jesus Christ. And most of the devils running around outside these doors won't either, but some will. Some will. Matter of fact, I think a lot more than we realize will. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go to see it. There it is. I got more important things to do. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Remember what he says, unless thou hate mother and father? He's talking about, if you put anybody between him and you, it's you might as well just say you hate him. Amen? And it's not that you hate your people. It's just that the difference between love, your love for him and the love for them ought to be that distance. You ought to love the Lord like you love nobody else. He ought to come first at nobody else's expense. I mean, at everybody else's expense. Nobody else is coming before him. Nobody else is going to stand between you and him. And no matter what anybody thinks, you're going to do right by God. That's what he's asking. That's what he expects. That's what he deserves. Therefore, I cannot come. So that servant came and shewed his Lord, verse 21, these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Still room at the cross for salvation, amen. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, there we are, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. So is it more about souls getting saved, or more about pleasing and glorifying him? It's about filling his house. It's about his honor and his glory. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. So the ones that had other things to do, that didn't, they won't make it. They might later on go, well, maybe I'm good enough. No, you're not good enough. We're not good enough. And then look at Matthew 22. Matthew 22. We're going to start in the middle of this. Verse 9. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. So there's guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him in the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. So what happened here? This guy comes in and he's not dressed for the wedding. Why is he not dressed for the wedding? Church age, he's not saved. If you're not saved, you can't get to the wedding. But the guests, they have works and faith to get to be part of the wedding. We're looking at God's family, the family of God here. The church, of course, is the body of Christ and the bride of Christ. We know that from the New Testament. We've talked about that many times over in the last 4 years or so. And the church is the bride. And there are other guests. And if you turn to Song of Solomon, we'll take a quick look at this. We won't get into it real deep tonight, but Song of Solomon. Now, Song of Solomon knows about the bride and the bridegroom. And Song of Solomon 6. Eight and nine. There are 70 queens and 70 concubines and virgins without number. So there's, we're talking about these guests, talking about the, this is pointing toward the marriage supper of the Lamb. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is a choice one of her that bare her. The daughter saw her and blessed her, yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. So we see these other folks. There's only one bride, and that bride is the church age saved folks. So what's the difference between a bride and a concubine? A marriage. Solomon had wives and concubines, but the concubines weren't married to him. They did bear him children and stuff. They were like, man, he had all the... 1,000 or so. Good night. I don't understand what he was thinking. But that's just craziness. Could you imagine that? Women are thinking, could you imagine having 1,000 husbands? Good night. Woo! Man, that'd be a lot of cleaning up, wouldn't it? But the thing is, the brides and concubines looking at all these guests. Remember, John said that he was a friend of the bridegroom. Right? So, at the marriage supper of the Lamb, they're going to have the family of God. They're going to have a lot of folks there. They'll have the queens, the concubines, virgins, these guests, and friends of the bridegroom, and which will consist of Old Testament Gentiles. You know, Adam and Seth and those guys, they weren't Jews. The Jews come along, Abraham and those other guys. Then we have Old Testament Jews, Old Testament Gentiles. We have the tribulation saints. We have folks like John the Baptist, a friend of the bridegroom. And then the bride is the church age saved folks. He's getting ready to call his bride out. There'll be tribulation folks at that wedding. There'll be Old Testament folks at that wedding, but they won't be the bride. They'll be the guests. And believe it or not, that used to be common knowledge. That's why the way is, that's one of the reasons the weddings are set up the way they are now. You have best men and best ladies and, you know, visitors. And then, unless you're Mormon, you have one bride. Amen. If you're Mormon, you're just confused. Amen. And wicked. But the thing is, that's the way all this stuff is set up on from Bible beliefs. But that's what we're looking at. We're looking at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And what a great day that will be. Back in Revelation 19, chapter 19, verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, interesting thing here, he says not to worship him. Because you're not supposed to worship anybody but God. And look what this fellow says to him. He says, I am thy fellow servant. He said, I'm just a servant of God. I'm nobody. And of thy brethren. So here's a Jew. Probably an Old Testament Jew. I've heard folks say that maybe it was Daniel. Maybe. I don't know. But it's an Old Testament Jew that's here saying, I'm of thy brethren and thy fellow servants. Don't worship me. Worship him. Pointing to Jesus Christ. And then in 11 through 19, we're going back through the battle again, the battle of Armageddon, and Jesus Christ coming back here. It says, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had the name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. There's his judgment. His cup of wrath, judgment spilled out. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen. Isn't that something? White and clean after the judgment seat of Christ. Because that army is his bride coming with him. We're going to come back with him. Praise God. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. There's his word. The Word of God coming out of the Word of God. That with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. Let's see, do we want to go down through here a little more? Yeah, let's go down through here a little more. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great Lord, great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bound, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. So here we see the Battle of Armageddon. And that battle here, he comes back to rule and reign. You notice verse 15, it says, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. Now, flip back over to chapter 11, Revelation chapter 11 real quick, in verse 15. Telling you, if you believe the Bible, you get a really different view of what's happening and what's going to happen. You know, there are a lot of folks think, well, we're bringing in a kingdom. We're going to get everything so good that Jesus is going to be in all of us, and he's just going to come back and rule and reign our kingdom. No. He's going to come back and wipe out the Antichrist kingdom, set up his own kingdom, and he's going to do it right. But what happens is, well, he's going to come back, and he's going to be happy, 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 love, 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 joy, joy. No. You got to read the Bible. It says he's going to come back, and he's going to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Now look what it says here in verse 15 of chapter 11 of Revelation. And the seventh angel sounded, and There was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So what's going to come back? He's going to come back, and he's just not going to be the king of the Jews. He's going to rule over Russia and China and U.S., any kingdom there is. He's taking it. And guess how he takes it? By love, love, love. He comes back with his army and takes it by force. He smites those nations, and then he takes over those nations. So those nations and all that perverted system that man set up, he takes over and does it right. Amen? Guess who he's ruling over? Oh, love, 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 love. He's ruling over his enemies. He said, until I make thine enemy thy footstool, thine enemy thy footstool, the earth is thy footstool. He comes back and rules and reigns over the nations of this world, and they don't like it. You know how I know they don't like it? Because after 1,000 years, the devil is loosed from his bondage for a season, from his chains for a season, and he gathers people from Gog and Magog, gathers people from four corners of the earth against the Lord after he ruled and reigned perfectly. It's not going to do them any good, but they'll feel like it is for a few seconds. But he comes back to rule and reign with a rod of iron. Now the Jews are going to get right, and it's going to be a good time for them, and all this worry and stress and doubt that they have about whether or not they're going to make it through tomorrow and all this stuff, they're not going to have to worry about that for 1,000 years, amen? But Jesus Christ is not going to come back and just go around rubbing all the little kids on the head and say, oh, good night, God bless, and go down through here and turn everybody's water into grape juice and all that stuff. He's not going to do it. He's going to rule and reign, and people are going to come to him whether they like it or not. You know what it says? It says if they don't come to him and worship him once a year, they don't have rain. Why would it say that? Because there are going to be folks that don't do it. And he's warning because he knows they're going to be... It's not because they want him here. They don't want him here. He comes back and takes over by force. And we're with him. And then for 1,000 years, everything's right. It's done right. There's peace, but it's not peace because everybody loves it. It's peace because everybody's forced into peace. Amen? Because the Prince of Peace, the perfect ruler, will be here ruling on the throne of David. You see, a lot of our dear friends that are saved even, probably, hopefully, think that we're bringing in his kingdom and it's just going to be love, love, love. Hey, we're going the wrong direction. Everything's going the wrong direction. But he's going to turn it all around. And like we talked about last week, or I believe it was last week, he's not going to come and open up the psychology books and the encyclopedias and see what man's done and glean a little bit of wisdom and knowledge from man. He's going to come back and discard all that, thousands of years of man's abilities and man's wisdom and worldly knowledge and wisdom, and he's going to discard all that and do it right. Because everything man does is tainted. But Jesus Christ is going to come back without looking for the help of any man on this earth. He's going to smite the nations. He's going to rule the nations. And verse 20, it says, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles, before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. So there's the battle. The battle of Armageddon, the beast and the false prophet cast into a lake of fire. And 1,000 years later, guess where they're at? They're in a lake of fire. We know that. We'll see that again later because he loosed the devil. And then he casts the devil into the lake of fire with the beast and the false prophet later. So the thing about verse 20 is all man's efforts to go against the Lord ultimately fail. Ultimately, they might think they're getting away with it now. They do now. They laugh, they joke, they poke fun at, and they use his name as a cuss word. They ridicule people that love him, that try to do right by him, that brag on him, that praise him, that glorify him. You go out and say praise the Lord, most people, half people will say, yeah, praise the Lord. Half people say, they look at you like you cussed. And a lot of these religious folks, Lutherans, Catholics, Methodists, Baptists, whatever they are, the religious crowd, you say praise the Lord, you say the Lord Jesus Christ, they look at you like you're cussing. It's not something they're used to. They're used to the filth, the perversion, the crooked, the wrong way. But they're not used to clean, and they ridicule that. And they thumb their nose at righteousness. But they won't one day. They won't one day. And the beast and the false prophet here, they got all this power, and they've got all this ability to deceive. And I'm telling you again, I hope they're saved. I'll call them our friends, our brothers and sisters in Christ. But these Assembly of God wackos and these Pentecostals that are into all this craziness and all the looking for these signs and wonders, that's what this is leading to. How do you think the world's going to accept the false Christ? Signs and wonders. It just says it right here. It says, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. They're going to see all this stuff. They're going to see Hollywood come to life. All this stuff that they put in their head that couldn't really happen, that's just almost reality but not, they're going to see it happen. They're going to see him do these miracles. They're going to see him do things. Old Benny Hinn just going to wish he could do what the Antichrist is going to do. And that old boy, he's going to deceive them, and they're going to take the mark, and they're going to bow down and worship him, and they're going to be worshiping a false god. And they had Jesus Christ, the faithful and true, the one, the only, God himself in the flesh on this earth, and they rejected him, and they're going to take the false one. Isn't that something? But the stage is being set. It's not an innocuous thing. It's not just it doesn't really mean anything if they speak in tongues and they talk about all that. It's the devil's using them to set the stage for the Antichrist. This kingdom that's being brought in, it's being brought in by these false religions. And all I can say is do right. Read your Bible, study, pray, and do right. And don't get caught up into this stuff. I've heard Baptists say, well, you know, I'm kind of Pentecostal. Well, I get excited about the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit moves, praise the Lord. But if you start speaking in tongues in here, I'm going to ask you to leave. Amen? And then if you don't quit, I'm going to tell you to leave. And, you know, if it gets too bad and you start trying to raise the dead, we're calling the police. Amen? That's all I'm going to tell you. I'm just being honest with you. That's wicked stuff that's going on. It's not like, well, they just believe a little different. No, the devil has got control of their religious system. And there's all different flavors involved in that religious system. Even the Catholic Church has... They have churches now that do signs and stuff, and they everything is blending together. We're not blending. Amen? We're not blending. You didn't vote in a blender. Amen? You might have voted in a nut, maybe a donkey that'll preach to you once in a while, but you didn't vote in a blender. I'm not ecumenical. Jesus Christ isn't ecumenical, and I'm telling you, there's a reason. It's not just to be mean and say, look, I'm right and you're wrong. The Bible's right and they're wrong. And sometimes the Bible's right. The Bible's always right, but sometimes when it's right and we're wrong, it's always right. Sometimes we're wrong. I'm not saying we're the only ones that are perfect. We walk right. We do everything we do is perfect. But I'm saying the stuff that we know is wrong is wrong. Amen. And if we're doing something wrong in here, I want to get it right. But I'm telling you, there's verses. We have Bible to back up our beliefs. It's not just a feeling. Amen. A lot of people have feelings. Everybody has them. But that's not what we run on. We run on the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And you want to get rid of the Holy Spirit, ditch the Bible and just run on your feelings. He'll run. Quench the Spirit. Grieve the Spirit. We don't want to be any part of that. The beast and the false prophet cast into the lake of fire. Verse 21. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. So verse 17 and 18 is fulfilled. Look what it says again in 17 and 18. I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great Lord, or great God, excuse me, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. You know what he's doing there? He's prophesying victory. He says, come on, get ready. Here the enemy. Could you imagine this? Just put it in your head like it was a show. And you're actually watching this like John's watching it. And the devil's got all his guys. Boy, he's got them all together. He's got his armies. All these troops together against God. And God says, and his angel says, hey, birds, fowls, get ready to eat. Getting ready to. We're going to wipe these boys out. We're going to cast the beast and the false prophet into a lake of fire. And then we're going to destroy the rest of them. You're going to feast on their carcasses, horses and all. And then you get to 21 and it happens. So, well, is that going to happen? It already happened. Hey, we're going to catch up with that one of these days. I know it happened because John seen it. See, our minds are pretty simple. We can only understand the here and now, and we can worry about the hereafter sometimes. What's going to happen tomorrow, what's happened in the past, we can dwell on that. But we really can't grasp a whole lot more than right now. But everything's right now for God. And He can grasp it all from beginning to end, from infinity each direction. Amen? That's right. Amen. But I'm going to back up to verse 11 again for just a minute, and we'll wrap this up for tonight. It says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Now remember a couple different things about this. Remember, in chapter number 4, verses 1 and 2, heaven opened. John heard, come up hither, and he went up and went in. Chapter number 19, heaven opens. So in chapter number 4, somebody's going in. Chapter number 19, some people are going out. The Lord Jesus Christ and His army. And we read earlier, they're wearing fine linen, white and clean, because it's His bride with Him after the judgment seat of Christ. And again, back over in Revelation chapter 6, when they saw that white horse and death and hell followed with him, that's the Antichrist. He's coming out to mess things up, and God's going to let him do it because God's going to allow that to be part of His judgment to get the Jews turned back to Him and to, you know, dump part of the wrath out on this world. Part of it's going to be done by allowing the devil to have his way. So in Revelation chapter 6, the Antichrist is on that white horse with his bow. And Revelation 19, Jesus Christ, Faithful and True, comes back and with His armies, and He's going to defeat the Antichrist, the false beast, the false prophet, the Antichrist. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, beast, false prophet, Antichrist, they're all defeated. Right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit defeats the Trinity of the Antichrist. Cast them in the lake of fire forever. So when you're reading Revelation 6, you got to remember that white horse is not Jesus Christ coming back on that one. And this one, he said he's wearing many crowns. And before, all he had was a bow. Now, what would Jesus Christ be running around with a bow for? You know why he's not running around with a sword in 6? Because he doesn't have the Word. He's not the Word. He's the NIV, he's the RSV, he's the NASB, he's all that. He's not the Word. Kids used to watch this Wiggles or something when they were kids, little kids dancing, singing. He had this Captain Feather sword or whatever on there. That's who's coming back in Revelation 6. He don't have a double-edged sword. He's got a fake sword. Matter of fact, he's got a bow. He don't have a word, the Word of God. Matter of fact, he's not going to use his words as much as he's going to use his power. He's got all kinds of power, and he's going to do all kinds of things, but he's going to give them false everything. And Jesus Christ comes back and defeats him. And we get to be with that, with him. Praise the Lord. Isn't that exciting? And another thing is, it says that he had a name. He also had a name on him which no man knew. The Jehovah's Witnesses, again, they say that Jehovah is a Lord, L-O-R, capital L-O-R-D. And it's the same thing, and that's his name. And that's Jesus Christ is not his name. And the name, God's real name is Jehovah. He's one. He's not a Trinity. He's a Jehovah. He's one God. But there's a name that nobody has ever pronounced. The Jews don't even pronounce it. When they wrote it out in the old Hebrew, they didn't even pronounce it. They didn't even put all the letters in it. They don't know how to pronounce it. No man knows. Only God knows. And there's attempts at it. I don't know what they use the word. Is it Adonai? I don't remember what they use. Adonai or something like that. I don't remember exactly what they use because they don't want to use that word. They can't pronounce it. And there's a name that nobody knows but God himself. He's going to come back with that name. But it also, to let you know for sure who it is, it tells you that he's faithful and true, and it tells you that his name is called the Word of God. So he's got a bunch of names, but he's got a name nobody knows. Amen? And you know, what's God's name? They'll ask you that. Well, they'll almost go into some kind of cardiac problem with it. What's God's name? I said, well, he's got many names. No, what's God's name? And his name is Jehovah. Okay, we have a Jehovah God, I understand that. But when they say it, it's like, look at me. See, you can always tell a scammer, because it's all about them. That's the same thing with the gift folks, and they'll look at my gift, look at me. And Jehovah's Witnesses, they, what's God's name? Like, we got something you don't have. Oh, you got one thing. If you had that, you got one thing out of an entire Bible. And you don't even have that right. Amen? Well, I give them this. Things are getting worse and worse. So they're right there. But he comes back and straightens this thing out. In chapter 19, there's a lot going on. And again, I don't hate the Jehovah's Witnesses. I hate them coming to my door a lot, but I want them to get saved. I like witnessing to them. I don't expect a whole lot of response usually, but I do like witnessing to them, like talk to them once in a while, you know, but they're wrong. They're wrong. And they need to get saved. And anybody that believes anything that doesn't match up with this book, they're wrong. Amen. It doesn't matter who they are or what they call themselves or what kind of emphasis they put on their questions when they're asking them to you. Amen. But the thing is, all the effort that man's put together and all the effort the devil puts into using man against God, and God comes back and wipes them out. And he does it with his word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Revelation 19, Lord willing, we'll start on Revelation 20 next week.